Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the mirror effect. We live in a society. Around us, there are other people. Some say that the people around us project to some extent who we really are on the inside, something that we can't see on ourselves, but that we can really see on others. So this is what we'd like to talk about today. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, if we look at different sites of self-change, psychology, relationships, things that have to do with how can a person improve himself in his life, there's this recommendation to understand that other people are your mirror. Suppose things that you like about other people say something about you. Things that make you mad and irritate you and others also say something about you. And we'd like to learn how to correctly relate to this. Is it true that others are actually a kind of mirror of who I am? Undoubtedly. No doubt that we don't see people for who they are, and also we have no idea, no clue of how to see a person for who he is. I put it this way, any person that we see, or in general, any object that we see, is a kind of piece of rock. Doesn't matter what. That still has no shape, nor color, shape, smell, nothing. But we, by looking at it, as if bring it to life, it comes alive according to what we want to see in it. And each and every person in and of himself does not exist. But I see that person according to what I want to see in that person. What do you mean that I want to see something in someone? That I look at someone. Sometimes we don't even see people. We don't see them. We look, but they pass by. It's like they don't stand out in the background. And then more and more, to the measure to which we get to know someone, that we already have some kind of impression, then we relate to that person in a certain way, and then even before I start talking or something to that person, I already depict their image inside of me from previous impressions. Because every time some kind of impression registered in me from that person. And therefore, there are no people. We don't know any person for who he is. We only know these images that you can say that we sculpture before us. I remember this example they gave us in the university that when we look at people from a different nation or culture that look different than we do, they all look the same to us. All Chinese people look the same, meaning because we have no discernments about these people, they all seem similar to us. And only when we start to get to know them, we see differences, colors, things. So is it so that in our cognitive abilities, we simply don't see details that we're not familiar with? We see only that which we shape ourselves out of our exterior impressions. At first, I have nothing. And then we start differentiating. At first, I don't see your hair or eyebrows or eyes or anything. But bit by bit, by starting to attribute these parts to you, suppose to your face, then accordingly I start relating to you, identifying you. And this is facial recognition and the recognition of a person. It's an entire method. It's not simple. It's not that I feel like it, I see and grasp, not at all. Because we're not a photographic image. We're not a photographic machine. We're not a camera. We are an emotional camera because we have only emotions, our desire to receive. And when I picture you in my desire to receive. And then how do I picture you? What do you mean in the desire to receive? The desire to receive meaning the desire to receive pleasure. So I look at you. Your hair. Suppose I can somewhat enjoy it. Your eyebrows, for sure. The nose, not that much. Your smile, for sure. So, this way, you register in me. Only in the way of giving me more or less pleasure. I don't photograph your eyebrows, and cheeks, and lips, or nose, or anything. I photograph my impression. But see how unique your impression in me is compared to my impression of millions of other women, from all other women's faces. How complex we are on the inside. It's like when the police want to put together someone's facial image, facial composite. Yeah. It's the same with us, only for us it's something emotional. I don't put together the eyebrows and the eyes and where's the nose, this fits, this doesn't, change it, and so on. No, I also do it this way. This is how it's done inside a person, but out of the desire to enjoy something more or less. Up until now, you talked about a person's appearance. Does it also have to do with a person's behavior? Anything. I look at a building, at a cow, a child, airplane, you name it. I always picture them in my will to receive. It's the desire to receive pleasure. My wife. She behaves in a certain way. I want to ask specifically about behavior. Wait a second. This and the power of. So please explain. Because up until now we talked about appearance. We're an emotional camera. We build a facial composite. There's like raw material. And out of it, we gradually shape what we want to see through our emotional camera. Yeah, but it's not that we only see things that are pleasant to us. Pleasant or unpleasant, it doesn't matter. But we picture it in our feelings. And what registers in my feelings. What about danger? To the measure to which each and every detail that I identify about Ms. Tal is pleasant or unpleasant to me. So, it's not only that it could bring me pleasure, it could also harm me. I'll picture that too. I have to be careful. Of course. But that's all you have. Only this sense called the will to receive. This is all you have. Okay, now I want to ask about behaviors. Up until now we talked about appearance. I understood that I picture everything around me according to what suits. You just pictured her. And she seems nice, pretty, pleasant. And now you're starting to get impressions from her behavior. And then you're saying, alas, this is a real monster. And what happens? You also change her face, her countenance, her appearance. For you, it's truly an inner revolution. This is already to the power of two, behavior. There are a few more. To the power of what? There is, because there is who she in and of herself is. Now you can say, I know who she is, but it means that I know that this is how I pictured her. I know I'm familiar with her behavior. I know who she is internally. Now, what can I do in relation to her? to change this facial composite in me. Whether it's for the better in one direction or in the other direction, depending on how I have to use this in me, that these two forms that I have photographed, the outer and the inner, these are two forms in which I have as if photographed her in an objective way, but it can never be objective because it's inside of me and I'm the desire to receive pleasure. But this is my impression, that this is how it is. Now I start working with her, meaning how am I supposed to accept her and for what purpose?
Okay.
And then here I can change my attitude toward her. Whether I need it, or society needs it, or I suppose she's my child's kindergarten teacher. And so on and so forth. So the use that I get out of this person will influence the way that I see them, feel them, and so on. Of course, that if I have to be connected with that person, then I already begin upon my impression to bring new forms in order to color my impressions in a more precise way according to your image. Suppose you're my child's kindergarten teacher, and then even though that I don't want to, but I have no choice, I give you presents, this, that, I have to care and so on, meaning on the one hand I remain with my impression. On the other hand, I act as much as I can in order to as if have a different impression, that I want to change your facial composite in me, even though that in the meantime it remains. And sometimes this way we can really change our attitude toward people. That I see that really it's a completely different person than the way I pictured them at first. Or that they're conning me or something, but this mirror effect, it's our entire life. We're not aware of the measure to which we photograph all the time and change these pictures in my inner album. Suppose if I attribute the quality of grumpiness to someone, and I think that that's terrible. What am I supposed to understand from this about myself, that this is how I see them? No, this you can't answer. It's very primitive. So he's grumpy, irritable. You can learn that it's good or not. Maybe it is good. Depends on the situation. Because if something really irritates me about someone else, it probably says something about me, that I behave this way and I just see that in them. First of all, in order to be impressed with someone, you also have to be included of that quality, otherwise you won't understand what's going on. So if I see something that exists in someone else, I have to first of all understand that it exists in me. I approach a baby, and I make a smiling face, or a sad face, or an angry face. He won't understand it. If he's really a baby, he looks at me and, you know, one way or another, he wants closeness. And after some time, then he can already start telling the difference. And accordingly, he responds. It's something that you can see. So what are we supposed to get out of this if we understand that we only see the subjective photograph of another person? We have to treat everyone favorably, give a good example to everyone as much as we can in order to break them with love, by love. What does it mean to break someone by love? Their impression of me, their negative impression of me, that was registered this way in them. I want to change it into a positive one. How? I have to give them an impression of myself so that they will understand how much I really want to their benefit. And then, up to the point where love covers all crimes, that over all of those first impressions that were as crimes will come love, that the other person will see no flaw in me, about me, even though that at first, the way his ego pictured me, photographed me, the only thing he saw was flaws. Okay, and now we turn the camera around. He has the camera, and I'm concerned about how he sees me. Why am I concerned with that? Otherwise, how can I connect with the other person? This is my entire work in life, to so-called turn my enemy into my lover. So your assumption is that when one person looks at another person, his impression of that other person is necessarily in advance negative. Always. Everyone looks at others through the point of view of what can I get out of that person? How can I use them? Exploit them? Everyone does. And if I can't, then there's no point in relating to that person. I immediately show disregard. And if I can, then I look for how can I exploit that person. For men, it's in the specific way that men do it, how much more powerful they are or that they use each other. And women, it's to the measure to which each of them feels herself more beautiful, successful, appealing, attractive, and so on, compared to another woman. But it's always according to a person's own ego. So we're all emotional cameras that my inner mechanism relates to all other objects through this egoistic perspective, and then I have these different pictures that are formed in me through this camera. And this is how it is in each and every one of us, that each of us has this inner photo album. Especially if you talk to women. With men, it doesn't stand out that much. But if a woman looks at another woman, first of all, she sees. How different is she? Is she more than I am, less than I am? The differences between us and to whose advantage? So such a photo album is created instinctively in each of us. Now, we live in a society. Everyone has their own inner album that's reshaped every time, and we have to create some kind of relationship at work, at home, doesn't matter where. After I understand everything that you explained up until now about the inner mechanisms of how we see reality, how can I now successfully connect, build a successful relationship with someone else? What are the necessary conditions for it? You said the first condition is that I have to treat everyone favorably, to break them by love, so that the inner image of myself that was created in them will start changing. Yes. What else do I have to know in order to start building a good relationship? This is in regard to how I influence the way they perceive me. How about the way I perceive them? Because all the people around me are depicted in me in a certain way. Through my egoistic eyes, this I understand. Can I change these pictures? Suppose there is something about Tal that I can't stand, a certain quality that I can't stand, and what can I do? She's my boss at work, or I'm her boss, or we're just colleagues and we have to work together, or we have to do, it doesn't matter what. There's something about her that is standing in the way of our connection. Now you're saying that it's not really in her, but this is how she's perceived in your inner album, picture album. Can I change that? Of course, but externally. Can you explain? You have to raise her importance above your inner impression. That's called love covers all crimes. What is that? That the benefit from her covers your impression. So much so that afterwards you will stop even recalling, even though that it'll remain on the inside, but that there's something negative about her, because you'll enjoy her so much so in your work that there'll be no other calculation here, even though that she walks around with this hairdo that you don't like, suppose. Oh, you know, hairdo doesn't bother me. That's her life. Usually what bothers us are people's behaviors. There are things that I can't stand, kinds of behavior. And now I'm adding the way I see it, because I'm an emotional camera, so I don't know anymore. No problem. It's all according to gain and loss. There's no other way. Only according to gain and loss. What does he have to do? This is how we always do it. Again, like we said, we are all in all the desire to receive pleasure, to the measure to which I enjoy, and to the measure to which I lose. And so we calculate. How does he reach a state where he can enjoy someone that he can't stand their behavior? But he enjoys in a different way. What can I do? Suppose you're an expert in something. Along with it, your behavior is really terrible. So what can you do? You agree with it. Suppose every 5 minutes you go smoking. And every 10 minutes you talk on the phone. But along with it, according to what we see, at work, you're really the bomb, so to speak. You solve all problems, you make such reports that we can't do without you. We wanted to get rid of you, but we can't. So we bear your phone calls, your cigarettes, and continue with you. So it's something external to calculate gain and loss, and accordingly I can stand that. But suppose in a family, there it's something else. In the family, I have to reach a state where the qualities that I can't stand about another person that gradually become revealed, I need either to uproot them completely in my spouse, suppose, or to agree with it, love these qualities, bear them, and agree with the way she behaves. Otherwise, what can I do? Here, it's love covers all crimes. What does this sentence mean? It means that even though that I disagree with something about another person, when I approach that person with love, I start loving all of their negative qualities because they're his, they're theirs, hers. And that person for me is precious. So it's important for me to relate. And in someone else, I can't stand it. But in them, I can. So why do I stand it here? Because I love the other person, that other person. And then everything about her, suppose, doesn't reject me. So much so that she became close to me. Why? Because it belongs, it's a part of that person, and I enjoy that person. Yeah, but this specifically, I can't stand. No, it's so much so, there's also the matter of mutuality here. If I feel that that person's devoted to me, then everything behind that devotion, that soul devotion to me, it covers it. Their devotion covers for it. It's what we call in the wisdom of Kabbalah, dvikut, adhesion. Now, what about all of these sayings that you have to be that change that you want to see in the world, meaning that if you'll make some kind of inner change, you'll start seeing reality differently? True. So much so that I stop feeling about that other person that I love. I stop seeing flaws in them, like a mom sees no flaws in her baby, and someone else, you know, they look and, what is that? But the mother sees no flaws. The baby's perfect. So what changes do we have to make in order to see a good, loving reality? Love. Love covers all crimes. And if suppose I become more loving, how does that change my reality? It only changes the way I interpret reality, or reality changes and that's that. The main thing is our impression. A world has no form of its own. The form's always registered in our will to receive. And therefore, I never see anything ever objectively as it is, because it has no form. The form's always in the common attitude between myself and that thing that I'm in contact with. Last question. Suppose Tal, she's my boss at work, and she's really, from time to time, she's unbearable. Now, what do I have to do? What kind of change has to happen in me? Love. What is that? You have to rise above your complaints against her and see that your complaints are personal, specific, that there's no room for them at all in your relationship, that it's simply a result of two nervous systems or psychological systems, to some extent, not being able to be an equivalence of form, but either through appreciation or love, you can bring yourself to a state where you will see no flaw about her. No flaw. Suppose I have a teacher, and he's really smart, and he teaches me, and he cares for me and everything. And he himself, I don't see any flaws about him. But were I to look at him from the outside in, through different eyes, he'd look ugly and whatnot. In short, it all depends on the benefit, on how close you are, on the measure to which your desire to receive pleasure enjoys that as if external image that you photograph and picture in your desire to receive pleasure. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.